Welcome back to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Layla Doolittle, and today I'm so excited to be joined by Dr. Shivani Gupta. She is a wealth of knowledge about so many different topics, and I'm so excited to learn from her and for her to share wisdom in all of her different specialties, and including the Ayurvedic practices, where she can teach us the ancient wisdom of this powerful type of ancient wisdom.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Wonderful to have you here. And I've just been so inspired by you. You have so much information that you've been putting out. You're an incredible speaker in so many different avenues and realms. So I have learned from you in the functional medicine way, as well as from your book. And what I would love for you to share with us about is just tell us a brief background for anyone of our listeners that don't know about Ayurvedic and the Ayurvedic principles. How can they learn more about this, and what are some of the basic principles of this?
Absolutely. So I discovered Ayurveda, which is an ancient system of medicine from India that's over 5,000 years old. Mm-hmm. I realized its existence as a kid because going to India every year, I would see my grandparents, I'd see my cousins, and whenever I got sick, my grandma would pull out her spices and give me a tea or a concoction and would help me. And I realized Ayurvedic medicine is really an entire lifestyle. It's an understanding that nature is our medicine. Plant medicine is the solution. And it's our resonance with Mother Earth that is the key to everything. So Ayurveda is really a system of health and healing. It is a system of medicine that covers a lot of the subspecialties we now see in Western medicine. And then it's also a preventive lifestyle. So I love teaching the preventive lifestyle piece, because then we can have a lot more tools in our toolkit that we can use on a daily basis to stay in rhythm with nature. And so some of the big pillars out of Ayurveda are your dosha, or your individual mind-body constitution that we talk about based on the elements of nature, or your circadian rhythm, and how living according to the circadian clock is the key to staying in rhythm with nature and in rhythm with your own constitution, and how you're meant to feel throughout your day to stay energized and productive. Then I teach a lot about gut health, because gut health is the key to all health. Ayurveda knew that if we have a gut digestive fire that's strong, that's our immunity, that's our mood, that's our brain, that's everything. And it's fun that modern day science is proving all of that ancient wisdom to be true.
Yes.
And then we talk a lot about the sattvic diet, like living a diet that's very yogic in nature. Mm-hmm. It's not too extreme in any direction. It's all about moderation and supporting our body and really absorbing the nutrition and the nutrient density and nutrient variety. And the circadian aspect of that food. Are we living according to the seasons that we're living in as well? Wow. And then finally, I love teaching about Ayurvedic self-care, because that self-care helps you build the rhythm and it helps you stay detoxed on a daily basis. And then if you want to, or really we all need to, detox seasonally and detox annually as well. And finally, after that, I talk about the super spices, because I love the spices and the power that they have to heal our body, to be really powerful tools that we use along our way to build vibrant health.
Wow, that's amazing. I love this. Okay, so let's start with this first pillar and explain what that means, the doshas. We've heard this explained from different terms, like maybe whenever we're looking at skin health and how we can either put on enough oil on our face if we're a little bit dry of skin, or vice versa, if we have too moist of skin and we're needing to figure out a way to balance that. But it goes so much deeper than that, and it has a role to play in every system of the body.
Yes, absolutely. So your dosha is your original mind-body constitution that you were given at birth. It's a combination of your parents, time and place of birth, everything. So anyone who's really into astrology, or if you're into human design, this is that next evolution of self-understanding that you can do. So you can take a dosha quiz. I have one on my website at drshivani.com. And when you take the quiz, a lot of people email me back and they're like, how did you know all that about me? And I'm like, this is ancient wisdom. It's just, it's been true for millennia. I just get to play in that sandbox and show you some new awarenesses about yourself. And so the three primary doshas that we talk about are vata, pitta, and kapha. And so vata, the first one, is primarily made up of the elements of air and ether. So this is a person who's going to have the traits of air, which sounds kind of weird, but it means someone who's always flowing, always moving, always in motion. Think of a ceiling fan. Think of the wind. They'll have more properties of air. They'll have a dryness. They'll have a mind that races at high speeds. So they're always in motion. And so we talk about Vata people as taller or shorter than anyone in their demographic, usually thin, kind of like almost skinny and thin in some ways. Mm-hmm. This is someone with smaller bone structures, so thin, small, frail bones sometimes, or just thinner bones. This is someone who has a long face. This is someone who has dry, brittle hair at times. This is someone whose appetite is kind of erratic. They kind of go through the day and they never have to have a real meal. So they'll hit dinner time and be like, yeah, I had a juice, I had a tea, I had some, you know, carrots, and I'm fine. And the rest of the doshas are like, how did you do that? We don't even understand you right now. And Vatas can have this incredible ability to be so creative. So your artists, your musicians are oftentimes from the Vata group because they're of that airy nature. They're in those higher planes. They can pull down that wisdom and artistry and knowledge in a different way than some of the other doshas. And so the same person might not have a tendency to finish everything they start. And so that's where we support a Vata person to really start their artistry and magic, but also complete it. So it comes down into the earthly planes and gets to have an existence.
Oh, I love that.
Sometimes Vatas can have insomnia because that mind is churning and moving all the time. They can also have disturbances like constipation, dryness of the gut. So our job is to support with oleation and support there. And a Vata person finally is just someone who can have a tendency towards anxiety. And so our job with Vata is to show them daily self-care rituals, a schedule, grounding. Like, let's put rhythm and routine into place so that you're supported in your Vata nature.
Yes. Wow. This is so amazing. Just getting to hear you describe this one dosha so far. It is such a creative way to explain it. And it's so playful and fun and enjoyable. So someone can actually feel themselves or describe themselves in this way. Wow. I need to go take that quiz. That's on your website myself.
Yes. And so each of us, just, you know, is born with our dosha. Most of us have a primary and a secondary dosha. Mm-hmm. Some of us are three doshic and balanced in all three. That's a little more rare. Most of us are like primary with a secondary. Mm-hmm. And so it just depends. Rarely is anyone 100% of just one thing. And so as you're listening, you might be like, wow, I have a Vata mind. And that's pretty common in the modern day time because we've got social media, phones, access to news, and we're so interconnected all the time. Mm-hmm. It's easy to have a Vata mind imbalance, even if we're physically something else. And so having that awareness is really powerful because then you can build in self-care rituals around, I'm going to disconnect now just to settle my mind. So I take circadian walks. I'll do different things just to tune out of the world and settle my mind. So that's the first constitution. And then the second one is Pitta. And a Pitta person is all fire with some water. And so this is someone who is a go-getter. They're medium bodied. They're not on the thinner side. They're not on the heavier, strong side like Kapha. They're just in between. Mm-hmm. And this is someone who has a tendency towards early graying. They can have reddish hair, reddish skin tone. They are ambitious. They're driven. They are sharp, like the properties of fire. Mm-hmm. And they also tend to be like a volcano. So a balanced volcano is just dormant, churning, doing its thing, converting, you know, earth layers to what they're supposed to. But a Pitta person out of balance erupts, explodes, melts down, you know, it's molten lava all over everyone around them. So Pitta people have quite an appetite. That voracious fire means like that fire is also in their digestive fire. They tend to eat hot, spicy, oily foods. You can tell I'm a Pitta. I can define Pitta really well. I'm like, we eat hot, spicy, oily foods and we get really inflamed eating what we're not supposed to eat and doing what we're not supposed to do. And us Pithas have this appetite where if we get hangry, you don't want to know us. If we're out of our balance, you also don't want to know us because we get really angry, especially to the people around us. And so that's a Pitta trait. So Pitta people need a lot of cooling and support. So this is like your entrepreneur, your driven person. They'll just go 24/7. I tend to like work in my work 24/7 in my brain. And so I have to have very specific rituals. I'm like, cool down. Calm down. Work is over. It's self-care time. Circadian walks. I'm in Florida, so that's a cooling activity to me.
Yes.
meditation, pranayama, yoga, like anything you can do to check out of the sharp mind is important for a pitta person.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love this. This is so amazing. I definitely resonate with that one as well. It's like you could see myself as both a pitta and a
vata.
Probably. Yeah. I feel like it would be a combination of those two.
Yes. And then the final one is kapha. And a kapha person is that person who you meet who's bigger boned, stronger. They're more grounded. They're of the earth. This is someone who can lift like way heavier than the rest of us. They can build that muscle. They tend to have round features. So round face, round eyes, thick, oily hair. Sometimes it's curly, oily hair, voluptuous. And you tend to be very one thing at a time. So they're very like earth energy, earth with water. So it's one thing at a time. They might talk a little slower, move a little slower. This is that caretaker, mother earth energy. This is that person who loves to cook, loves to take care of everyone around them, and deeply loves their friends, the nurturing friend who we have in our circle, who just cares about everybody. And this is someone who, if they're out of balance, they tend to get really jealous because their people are their people and they want they want their people to be with them. They want that love and nurturing and self, you know, that reciprocation of love.
Yes.
And so a kapha person can have a slower metabolism and it can be a struggle because nowadays we have these obsessions with fitness and health and weight and all these things. Right. And so a kapha person, my job with kapha is to say, look, this is your template. Love your template. Love what it is. Yes. Let's support a healthy metabolism. Kaphas tend to sleep 8-10 hours. Like they're the deep slumber group. So it's about supporting them to understand you're going to sleep. It's fine. Start your day an hour later. Let's rev up the metabolism, get you moving in the morning. Let's show you foods that are easy to digest. Don't eat raw green salads. Slower digestion means you need easier to digest foods.
Right.
And once a kapha sits down at the end of the day, they are not getting up. And so it's just important to realize, like, give them the space. I was kapha for a while after having kids. And I kept like asking myself, you sat on the couch. Why can't you get up? And so understanding that is really important because then you're like, okay, I will accomplish my whole day.
Yes.
Once I sit, I'm done. Mother Earth has sat down for the day. And so that's my definition of the three doshas.
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's so fun hearing you describe them. I've had them described to me before by different people and yours is so colorful and playful. And I feel like everyone can resonate with any one of those just because it's so unique and dynamic.
For sure.
Wow. Okay. So then you mentioned that there are things that we can do for each of these doshas to support them, to help them. And especially there are so many different types of just information that can be brought in through the herbs, the spices, and through the ways that you can heal with Ayurvedic medicine. So what are some of these things that you implement into plans once you have kind of diagnosed or categorized someone and you can see where they have these different dosha properties?
Sure. So what I love to do is when I sit down with my clients, I want to understand what is their lifestyle right now? What are their commitments? A lot of times when a woman finds me, she is in perimenopause, menopause, she's got some leaky gut or gut issues, maybe almost on that autoimmune side and wondering, what am I going to do here? Why has everything changed?
Yeah.
And I always talk to them about first, let's understand your circadian rhythm. If we don't honor circadian rhythm, we're always going to feel like this dis-ease or this out of balance feeling in our bodies. So we talk a lot about sleep and honoring sleep and doing whatever it takes to get phenomenal sleep. Because in Ayurveda, we teach that if you sleep from 10 to 2 on the clock, that's the pitta time of the clock. And that 10 to 2 is when the pitta fire goes through and cleans and clears and rejuvenates and clears all of our decks. And so a lot of times we are pushing our bedtime. I, as a woman, sometimes I'm like, well, I finally got to relax. So I should get to sit here and be on Instagram, or I should get to do whatever I want, right? But I always look at my phone. I'm like, it's 10:30. I just ate up 30 minutes. And I put it down. I'm like, no. It's read 5 minutes and go to bed.
Yes.
And so my reminder to everyone is, let's actually move everything way up. Let's start Ayurvedic self-care rituals for sleep at 9.
Yes.
Let's then relax and ease into bed. So by 10, we're asleep and we're using that whole fire for detoxification.
Absolutely.
Sleep is a big one. Moving enough to get enough sleep is important. A lot of us aren't moving enough, walking enough. Then I talk a lot about your digestive fire and how waking up in the morning and remembering that your digestive fire is the most important thing is a really key piece of building that vibrant health that you want, regardless of your dosha. The vata needs good, all of us need good digestive fire, no matter what dosha you're in. And so I talk about waking up, using a copper tongue scraper, making sure you hydrate enough to have peristalsis and that first bowel movement. Yes. Maybe oil pulling if you have that kind of time. These are simple self-care rituals from Ayurveda, but it's really an indication to yourself first of self-love. Like, hey, because sometimes I'll brush my teeth and start running and I'm like, wait, I've missed something. What did I miss? I'm like, oh, I didn't do my tongue scraper. That's my first act of self-love for me. Then I'm starting my day where I take care of kids and work and everything. And so Ayurveda is really showing us that we can each build a custom rhythm personalized to us that's really, it's like transcendent. It doesn't have to be linear, which I know is something you wanted to talk about on the show. It's really about how do you build like this multidimensional life where each act of self-love that you perform out of Ayurveda is not just in the here and now.
Yes.
It's your gift to yourself for the rest of your life. It's the gift to yourself in every aspect of who you are.
Yes.
And it can thus have a multidimensional benefit. So for example, tongue scraping is gently scraping the tongue 7 to 14 times. You could just scrape your tongue and move on. Or you could think, okay, I'm gently massaging all my organs today and detoxing them.
Yes.
I'm tuning into that and allowing my body to do what it needs to do for me to stay my healthiest. And one interesting thing that just happened to me this week, I did a stool test on myself and a mold test because my intuition had told me for 2 months that I needed to do it. And I was not ordering the test because I didn't want to order it because I knew I was going to get an answer I didn't want.
You know? It and you got to do something about it.
My intuition was finally like, order the dang test. I ordered it and I got the results this week. And the result was far worse than I expected.
Oh no.
90% of gut microbiome erased. Leaky gut. 14 mycotoxins.
Oh, no.
So I was talking to my functional medicine doc and I was like, Kim, what on earth?
Yeah.
I said, I have zero symptoms. Do you realize my intuition told me to do this? And I feel fine and I don't get sick. Everyone got norovirus and flu. I catch nothing. I said, this doesn't make sense. And I said, I want you to take a few days and put your thoughts together. I need a few days to calibrate. And as I calibrate, I'm actually, it's so fascinating. I'm not calibrating through my brain. I'm 100% calibrating through my digestive fire.
Yes.
My digestive fire is like, I've got you.
Of course. Exactly.
Of course you're fine and asymptomatic and have no problems because you know how to build this fire every day. Then I spoke to my house because I've energetically built a fortress.
Yes.
And I have a Buddha statue in the front of my house and I go out there and talk to my Buddha statue and say, hey, you are part of my protection team on this home. Energetically, this home is where I get to raise my beautiful, healthy baby. And so really, I felt this week like my job is actually to energetically tune in. Will I logically hire mold remediation companies? Yes, I will do that. But I have to intuitively figure out who's the best and smartest company for the project.
Yes.
But before that even, I thought, I am the woman. This home is my domain. My job is to just tune into where did there become a little imbalance?
Yes.
And where are we going to clean that up and fix that up? And what does this mean for all of us if we have different things that happen, but we're never checking in? First of all, if we're not listening to our intuition, big problem. And then second of all, if there is great testing around and we're not doing some annual or every other year good checkups on ourselves, are we allowing things to form and cause internal damage and long-term problems that we didn't tune into? So it's been an interesting week because I'm my intuition, every time I'm free, my intuition's like, actually, you have the power to heal this yourself.
Yes.
You know how to detox from Ayurveda. Why are you even asking another practitioner for an answer? You are the practitioner. But we always like those external answers, right? And my whole intuition's like, you've got this. We've got this. It'll be fine. So as a practitioner, it's always funny, right?
Yes, it is. We so often just are, we want to have someone else with a different set of eyes on it because we feel like we're too close to the situation. And yet they are only listening to what our bodies are telling them in the first place. So it's really back to you listen to your intuition. It comes right back around. That's exactly full circle where it needs to be. And I love this idea that you already have your tools in your toolkit. And throughout the Ayurvedic medicine and the Ayurvedic principles and within your energy field, that just resonated so much with me. You stepping into that like divine feminine nature of knowing you are the woman of the house that is protecting this house, that's creating the energy, the vibration field, and you're aligning with that true power and reclaiming that power and saying, it's, you know what, if we're going to create more balance energetically, then this is what's going to be the best way for remediation to be, you know, the for it to actually have an effect in a way that the remediation company does what they need to do and then the mold does not come back. Whereas so many houses stay sick. It's like that sick building syndrome, either the ley lines or geographical stress syndromes or whatever it is within the earth or the frequency fields or the energy fields or the imbalance of elements, maybe like too much moisture, too much water, too much of that. I think in Ayurvedic, do you all refer to it as like a dampness in the body? Yeah, it's the same in traditional Chinese medicine. And I studied in acupuncture quite a bit. So it's like that dampness in the house. Yeah. How do we help hold and restore to where there are boundaries so that that dampness doesn't just come in and claim too many parts of like the walls or the air conditioning system or wherever it's trying to hide. And you're claiming that and creating those boundaries. That's amazing. Yeah. I love hearing you explain it like this.
And it's so important to see where in your life are you allowing things. So to me, I'm probably going to need 2 weeks to calibrate with the information because first of all, I hate bad health news for me. I think I do all the work and so I don't deserve bad news. But then when I get news, sometimes I laugh and I'm like, God, did you just want me to go through it so I can figure it out the modern Ayurveda way? Like you're asking me to come up with a protocol and a plan because you know I could take this one. Okay. Yes. And I have a book coming out with Hay House next year, January. It's already written, but it's like the last 2 months of adding in the final bits. So when this news came, I was like, oh, I'm adding this in there. We need to be watching for this too. But yeah, it's very much like if you understand your dosha, I'm a Pitta dosha. Yeah. I already live according to my circadian rhythm. I already honor gut, digestive, fire.
Yes.
But sometimes, even if you're great at all those things, you might, based on your template and your personal self, allow a lot of things into your life that can create stagnation or hold you back. Mm. And whatever those things are, these moments in our health are those moments to really shine a light on. Wow. Where are you allowing things that don't belong? Where do you not have good boundaries, like you said? Where are you giving everything away and not nourishing self? So that's really a big wake-up call this week. Are you just doing too much and you weren't paying attention?
Wow. And then there's your check for it. And I think we all also are inspired as functional practitioners leading the way for so many different patients and complex illness cases that are walking these journeys. It's like we have to be able to show them we are also walking the journey and wellness is never an end state. It's constantly a state of being that we choose wellness and we constantly are coming back to optimal wellness, but it's always a journey. It's never ending adventure. And so we get, maybe God gives us these wonderful opportunities to express how we're walking the journey and just courageously step up and just say, okay, we've got one more little health principle that we're needing to add in. Yeah. Maybe right now this is a little season that we're needing to detox a few biotoxins and get ourselves back to this baseline or back to this balance. And it's okay. And it's so nice for, you know, our clients to be able to experience that, that we also go through similar types of seasons as what they have been going through in their wellness journeys.
Totally. And it's what makes us very fervent practitioners. I grew up with leaky gut and an autoimmune template, and I was always sick growing up.
Yes.
And I took 50 rounds of antibiotics through high school. So gut to me is like, okay,
yes,
the number one thing I worked on. And then when it has a problem every few years, I'm like, oh, there's always more work to do. That's okay. That's the body I've been dealt. Yes. And I get to lovingly constantly bring it back to its highest vibration, highest self.
I love the way you explain that. I do think it's that wonderful opportunity that we all have to honor, respect, love, and adore our bodies. And it's that like tangible proof of that to ourselves. So our own system internally is able to feel how we are always the greatest nurturer, the greatest lover of our own system. We have to be. And we always give that energetic exchange back. Our body gives us so much, energetically shows up in so many big and profound ways, like starting these business adventures and branching out and, you know, trying to grow these things. And then also, like you're doing, keeping up with this amazing family that you're growing and you're able to support them in so many ways. And you're doing all this outreach, writing these books. You're doing so many incredible things, juggling so much. And your system is just like, okay, now give me some of that energy, give it back to me, and make sure you're focusing back on the center. Right. And then we'll keep on juggling all these different balls and doing this, all this wonderful magic out there. But we also have to stay grounded and centered.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, you mentioned something I want to swing back to, the copper tongue scraping. I love the way that you brought in the honor in those moments. So we know about like reflexology of the hands and the feet and the iridology of the eyes. And then the tongue also has a blueprint of all of our systems. Right. And so that's very much an Ayurvedic principle too. And I love that you mentioned copper tongue scraping, because there's a big difference between all these. So that and then oil pulling, I'd love for you to explain a little bit more about this and just give some very tangible, applicable things that our listeners can bring into their lives starting tomorrow.
Absolutely. So in Ayurveda, we actually teach that starting the day with an intention is the best way to start the day. So I always touch the ground, touch my forehead, and check in. And that's, and I always set one intention, which is, may I please have peace today? Because every day is a pretty busy day. So I just want some more peace.
Yeah.
That's always my first prayer. And that's my first tuning into thank you. Thank you for this day ahead. I am going to make the most of it. So I start there, and then I go brush my teeth. And my first step is copper tongue scraper. Mm. Copper is an antimicrobial metal. Yes. And so the metals, the materials that we buy that we touch all day long matter. And so a copper tongue scraper, when we gently scrape the tongue, like you mentioned, traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda are very much sister sciences. We both love all the elements. We both love all these herbs and spices like turmeric and ashwagandha. Yes. Like we're pretty similar in our philosophies of whole body health and personalizing that health to each person. And so when we take that tongue scraper, we're gently scraping against every organ in the body to remove ama, or the toxin residue that forms in our body just by living normal life.
Yes.
And so Ayurveda is teaching that the gut digestive fire has a role in cleaning and clearing all the toxins, but sometimes it doesn't win at all of that. Sometimes we're eating really processed foods. We're eating pesticide-ridden food. Yes. Sometimes we're eating old, dead food. So we teach a lot in Ayurveda about like how to eat, when to eat, how to cook, all those ideas. And so that ama, or toxin residue, that's pretty inevitable, shows up on people's tongues as this white coating. Yes. Some people call it a cauliflower tongue, which I think is so funny. I'm like, that's but any white tongue just shows you, hey, there's a little bit of a toxin burden. Be more diligent with your tongue scraper.
Yes.
And so you're cleaning and clearing all that every day. And I just love that as like my first reminder. I come first.
I
love care first. And sometimes that might be the only thing you do in your day for yourself. So why not just do one thing? Mm-hmm. And then oil pulling is something you can add after. Take any food grade organic oil, such as coconut oil, olive oil. A lot in Ayurveda, we love sesame oil. Mm. And you take about a tablespoon or two of that oil, put it in your mouth, and swish it around for 5 to 20 minutes. Now, this one sounds weird. Everyone's always like, what? I tried it because I was like, I'm not going to teach something I'm not willing to try. When I tried it at first, I was like, what am I supposed to do with myself? I can't talk. I can't talk on the phone.
Yeah.
But guess what? You can multitask this habit. You can shower. You can go make your morning coffee. You can be getting dressed. So as long as you don't have to talk, you're fine. And so just do that for about 5 to 20 minutes. But make sure when you're done and that oil has collected all the toxins and things in your mouth that accumulated overnight, you're spitting it out in the trash, not your toilet sink or shower, because you will clog your house pipes. So I like to give that disclaimer.
Yes, that's so important. Wow, I love that. And what an amazing way that we can like mechanically detox. Awesome. So many people talk about drainage pathways and let's open up the way that we're able to get rid of our toxins. So let's get the lymphatic system moving and get to sweating and make sure that we're drinking plenty of water and having good bowel movements and urinating properly to get the toxins out. But it's like, okay, how do we get the toxins out before we actually continue swallowing them all day long? And our oral health is crucial for every system of the body, definitely GI tract, that gastrointestinal tract, that digestive fire. It's so important that we balance that. I love it. Well, that actually brings up another key point about microbiome. So it's like our microbiome, epigenetically, there is so much information that we receive from every different species. And we have so many different types of species that we are dependent on for neurotransmitter health, for our hormone balance, for every communication signal in the body, definitely for digestion and for energy, metabolism. And so this microbiome, in metaphysical terms, it's like sentient beings that they need to feed off of our own energy to be able to be in the right balance and to be able to have this wonderful like quorum sensing where they can communicate properly. And so tell us a little bit about some of the Ayurvedic principles behind healthy microbiome and how we can optimize our own.
Absolutely. So Ayurveda taught us that your whole day is actually about building the diversity and the support and strength of your gut digestive fire. Yes. And I think digestive fire was just their rudimentary way of saying this thing that's going to do all the work for you. And fire is actually a great symbol because when we do send things through our digestive system, we want our bodies to process it. Yes. We want it to be transformed, which a fire can do to any food that we consume. And so Ayurveda said, just like in a real campfire, if you went to build one, you would put stones around it. You would find small, medium, and large branches. You would start that fire, and then you'd maintain that fire throughout the day. And let's say you were camping for a while. You'd open it up, use it to make breakfast, settle it down to just the embers, but not put it out completely. Open it up for lunch, close it down, open for dinner, close it down for the night, and then start over the next day. Yes. And so in the same way, Ayurveda is teaching us to make a rhythm around our digestive fire. So it's like wake up in the morning, hydrate, start peristalsis. Tongue scraping, oil pulling is like ignite digestive fire. That's what tongue scraping does as well. So you started the fire. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, you can have a habit of ginger lemon tea in the morning or hot lemon water, or hot ginger tea, or hot ginger lemon honey tea. Any combination of those is like your first step in also stoking that fire and getting it churning and ready for you and what you're going to do that day. Yes. Ayurveda taught about intermittent fasting. It said 12-hour fast is very good. You can extend that a bit, but Ayurveda is very moderate. Ayurveda doesn't teach to do like mega fasts. Mm-hmm. You can do water fasts for cleaning, but not like every day. Yes. And so we teach breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 3 meals a day, no snacking. And in modern day times, we're used to snacking. We're used to having food around us at all times. Yeah. And Ayurveda said, you open the fire, you close the fire. Mm-hmm. You don't sit there and overuse your digestive acids, enzymes, and everything all throughout the day and waste energy and distract the body from all of its other processes that it's supposed to do.
Yes.
And now we have such cool modern conversations around no snacking, you know, really you're releasing those enzymes and things unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Let's keep a focused digestive process going. And so Ayurveda said, 3 meals a day. And when you eat those meals, eat according to your dosha, eat according to the circadian clock. Are you living in the Northeast and in the winter? Eat those winter foods. Yes. Are you living in Florida where we can have oranges and everything we want all the time? Eat your winter foods. Yes. And to really pay attention to what are your seasonal foods. Mm-hmm. Eat for variety. Eat for nutrient density. And so when I talked to my doctor, she goes, what have you been eating? I was like, well, I went on this high protein diet. She goes, no, Shivani, you know this. And I was like, I know, but I like to test everything on myself. She goes, well, you gave up diversity and look. And I was like, yeah, you are right. Thank you. Like I love running tests. And then I apparently get to face the punishments of those funny tests I run. But it was a reminder of, you know, in Ayurveda, we want you to eat those lentils and those beans and those vegetables and that fruit. Absolutely. And in the modern day world, we're teaching the carnivore diet and the eat one thing, eat 100 grams of protein. And so I was like, do you know what it takes to eat 100 grams of protein as a vegetarian? I am eating tofu, eggs, and Greek yogurt like it's my job. And she's like, well, I need the diversity. And I said, yep, I got you. It makes total sense. And so Ayurveda says diversity, nutrient density.
I agree completely.
Really a love for food. And I think that's actually the deeper, bigger problem.
Yes.
We get so focused on accomplishing and just categorize food as fuel.
Yes.
This thing that we're just shoveling in to get the job done. We forgot about satiation. We've forgotten about the love that goes into making the food and the love about receiving that food.
Yes.
And I think that's honestly, if I had to self-diagnose right now, that's the issues. I've gotten so busy. I've got bigger teams. My company got bigger. Everything just sped up by 5 times. And a book launch is a big deal. Yes. And so I did that thing where you kind of shove food into the category of fuel, forgetting that if you're going to call it like matter and forget that it's actually all the nutrition for this whole beautiful body to work, what do you expect the result to be? And so it's kind of that reminder to all of us that if you can just bring back cooking on Saturdays and Sundays, if you can just bring back shopping at the farmer's market and buying the food, any aspect doesn't have to be hard. I know cooking and making time for that is a job, but anywhere where you can bring self-love back into food is a big deal for the intelligence of the body to have that reciprocal relationship with the
Absolutely.
Food. And that's what Ayurveda taught. And in modern day times, we just keep forgetting it.
We do. We forget that. I love how you reference this. This is mindful connection and this mind-body-spirit connection with information coming in. These fuel sources, not as just fuel, but as information. It's like the information for our bodies that our cells are able to respond to. And we know that it's possible for every single different type of the DNA in each different plant is sending us information. It's sending us intelligent information from the light codes of all of the different spectrum of UV light coming from the sunshine in that time, in that latitude, longitude of where the location is. And then those light codes now are teaching us, teaching our cells of our body, how to respond so our own circadian rhythm can be more balanced. So our own biorhythms, and it's even bioenergetic upgrades for our DNA and the ways that our cells are expressing. So diversity and getting to bring in all of that genetic information is what helps our own epigenetic expression physically and our energetic expression metaphysically.
Absolutely. And we forget that. We just focus so much on the linear. And sometimes I'll eat a banana and I'll get so much joy. And I'll remember that I am the one who called certain foods outside of my categories, right? It's me who's saying that has too much sugar, so I don't eat bananas anymore. And we forget that each food has its own dynamic cellular like love and intelligence for us. Our body craves the diversity, and it's we who's taking away all the categories. I always think about the banana example, or if I'm traveling and someone will give me a fruit something and I'll have kiwi, I'm like, oh, I haven't had a kiwi in a year. Okay.
Just,
how can we bring back that love and reverence and play with food?
Reverence. Wow. I love that. It resonates so much with that. Well, speaking about the intelligence that is in different types of foods, well, let's go into some of the intelligent spices that we can be giving to our bodies, or even herbs. You mentioned turmeric and ashwagandha. These are so powerful and potent. And then also just share with us any other principles in Ayurvedic medicine that can give us that. Those fuel sources, food sources, nutrient sources as medicine.
Absolutely. So I did my master's degree in Ayurvedic sciences, and in herbology class, I was sitting there and the professor started talking about each spice from Ayurveda. And they were like, okay, well, first cilantro. We cook as coriander seeds that we crush in Indian cooking. It is heavy metal detoxing. It has these cooling properties. And so good for pithas who need all the cooling we can get. So add cilantro on everything, pithas. Yeah. It'll be beneficial to you. And I was like, oh, okay. Then he talked about cumin seeds. Cumin seeds are pre-digestive. Anytime you're going to cook a lentil or a bean or meat or anything that's hard to digest, take some oil or ghee or butter now, because we know oil can be problematic.
Yes.
And cook your cumin seeds in there. Heat them up. Let them open. And all of a sudden, you're giving yourself this pre-digestive support, so nothing will be hard for the body to digest. That's the power of cumin. And I sat there thinking, I am Indian. I eat every spice you're naming every day. How can they have those kinds of health benefits? and turmeric and each spice, fennel. And so finally, once my master's was done, my PhD, my advisor was like, I think you should do a PhD. And I was like, who has time for that? That's a big commitment. I just want to study. I just want to teach Ayurveda to the world. And he was like, trust me, a PhD would be good for you. I was like, fine. Yes. He's like, pick a topic. And I said, well, I'm really fascinated by turmeric. How can one spice do all that? Do you know how insane that is? He's like, oh, I know. So I dove in headfirst, studied turmeric for years, finished my PhD dissertation finally. Yes. And by the time I finished, I was such an evangelist of turmeric because imagine if you sit the science. Back then it was like 10,000 scientific studies in PubMed. Wow. Now we're at 17 studies and papers on turmeric. It's a fascination of the science community because of the number of pathways that it impacts. And for me, I have a very big family history of diabetes, heart disease, and Parkinson's. And so when I read the science, I was like, whoa. Turmeric has such powerful anti-inflammatory and antioxidant benefits. Mm-hmm. It's also antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, speaking of mold. So high dosing, it would be very effective.
Yes.
It's anti-H. pylori. It's supportive of the gut microbiome. So it's going to kill off what's bad, but keep what's good. Supportive of a healthier gut lining. It's very anti-aging. So it impacts sirtuins, AMPK pathways, glycation. Like it impacts a lot when it comes to the aging aspect of our bodies. It kills off zombie cells. So I think of turmeric as the ultimate janitor. Yes. It just sits in there and says, you know what? All this junk doesn't belong. I'm going to cause cell apoptosis. I'm going to cause cell death for all this junk that doesn't go here. Yes. And I'm going to kill off these zombie cells that are damaging everything. And all these things that are causing oxidative stress, we're going to reverse them and they're not going to do that anymore.
Yes.
And so I just thought turmeric's the coolest thing ever.
It is.
And so when I finished my PhD, everyone around me was like, why do you keep telling everyone turmeric will fix everything? It's not going to do that. Okay. It doesn't work for joint pain. It doesn't work when you're catching a cold. I was like, actually it does. I should know. I'm the one who just read the science like a crazy person for months and years and forever. Years really. And so I ended up creating a whole company around turmeric just to prove my point because I was like, if all of Western medicine just understood that turmeric extract can function as such a powerful anti-inflammatory, there's so many uses for it because inflammation is what's causing our joint pain and a lot of other big issues that we suffer from. And so I created my company about 10 years ago when I finished the PhD. And I built my formulas specifically to help people. So I just love teaching that turmeric is so powerful.
Yes.
I love talking about how all the different herbs work in a very synergistic way. So I built a formula where it's boswellia, dried ginger, amla. Mm-hmm. There's an intelligence in Ayurveda to giving you the primary herb to do the main job. Mm-hmm. The secondary herb, which is supportive to that. The third herb is going to help the first two go where they need to go. Then there's an herb to make sure it mitigates any negative effects of putting any herbs in the body in the first place. These are strong herbs.
Yes.
We talk about pharmaceutical drugs as being strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are real strong. That's why we have side effects.
Right.
But plant medicine isn't any less. It's very potent. It is kind of like a bullet level solution sometimes, especially the way we build them now. And so it's nice that Ayurveda is like, well, let me give you the whole thing in one go. And what I have found that I thought was so cool is turmeric has this intelligence to it where when it has a big problem in the body, it goes after that one. Then it'll go after medium-sized problems and then your small problems. And then it's just there for the maintenance dose.
Yes.
And I have found that to be so beautiful because
I
can't predict what it's going to do in anyone's body. But when I hear the stories now, I'm like, yep, that's what I've been hearing for a decade. Yep, I expected that result. And that's really fun to me. So, so for example, now when we talk about mycotoxins, I'm like, oh, I know what I'm using it for. And I know how I'm going to dose this. And I know how I'm going to drop this in as part of a bigger plan.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. This is already so wonderful to just get to hear it from so many different angles and to get so involved and so excited about just incorporating this into cooking more and into my daily life and into my supplement regime. Again, just honoring that it's one of the core foundations. Let's make sure that we are clearing inflammation first. If we're just doing one overarching use of turmeric, we all know it's one of the best anti-inflammatories. So let's get things out of the way, the inflammation out of the way so that the body can start to heal, can start to reclaim the optimal functioning of the cells. But let's talk about some of these things I'm so fascinated with on how are the best ways to prep, like for food as medicine approach, yes, with these different seeds and roots that you're talking about, like the coriander seed and the cumin seed. That's best freshly pounded, freshly ground at home. So don't buy it in like a little pre-spun down or pre-broken down or like the powder form. Correct. That's all dried up.
Yeah.
Crush it in their own like brick, little mortar and pestle, right?
Exactly.
I love doing that.
In Indian kitchens, we actually have a special box called our masala dhani. It's like this spice box where the spices are kept open and then we have a tight lid and then a secondary lid. My box is, I have an example one right here. I'll show you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, please.
It's a really cool box because it shows, I forgot that I kept this one in my home office. Mm-hmm. It's going to open. Here we go. Oh my gosh. It smells so good. So do you see how these spices are in separate bowls? And
oh,
so we always
that.
Keep the main spices we're going to cook with like this. Mm-hmm. So of course I have turmeric. This is ground coriander. It's light green, Himalayan pink salt, garam masala, whole cumin seeds, red chili powder. And then sometimes we keep a spice called amchur, which is just dried mango. So we keep these ready, but you're going to fresh grind your spices right before putting them in here. And then you also keep a backup. So I have like three places for spices.
But nice.
You keep them in glass jars sealed.
Good. So and that way it's like fresh, like once a week or once every month, then you grind them fresh. Yes. I love that. I pound it in a mortar and pestle fresh. Is that what you all use for grinding?
So if I need just a little coriander, I'll just use that to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is wonderful. I love that. Okay. Now mixing some of these things, I'm sure you have so much knowledge and just what you use in your own experience. Like what are some of the best combinations? Mm. You've mentioned like cilantro and coriander and how important that is together. And then like what a cumin and cilantro.
I mean, they're all important. Like my brain just went to, how do you say what's important? They're all relevant. So what I like to do, I have some cooking videos. I can post them on website or my YouTube channel, but in my groups and whenever I do my 6-week program to immerse everyone into this Ayurvedic lifestyle, I always do a cooking class because we need to know how to bring things more into our food. And so I'll teach them like any dish you're making, just heat up that initial fat, butter. We love fresh ghee, putting the cumin seeds in, watch them kind of start to pop. Mm. And there's a spice called hing. In America, we call it asafoetida. Okay. Very powerful for gut. And I love that spice. Mm. So it helps you digest things. So I put a pinch of that in and then that's your base. Okay. And then we in the Indian households will use fresh ginger, fresh garlic, fresh onion, really cook that down well. Mm-hmm. Then we add our tomatoes because the acidity of a tomato will cut all the cooking out. So we need the tomatoes to go in last. And then we add the spices. So it'll be like teaspoon coriander, teaspoon. In my case, I do like 3 teaspoons coriander based on my home cooking. Salt, of course, red chili powder, everything. And then you can actually use that base that we call masala. For anything. So every lentil I cook is on the same base. So in the Instapot, we cook our lentils. And in Indian household, we're going to have 10 beans and lentils at all times in our glass jars because we're obsessed with them. And we use the Instapot now because Dr. Stephen Gundry said it's a way to remove the lectins. Oh, everyone used to slow cook, which tastes way better. But we stopped our slow cooking due to him and all switched to Instapots. So you take piece one, which is that lentil now cooked properly. Piece two, which is your pan, and you put all those lentils into your masala base and stir it. And then you crush your lentils to create the curry texture feeling of that soup or stew that you're creating. And then you finish with certain spices at the very end. So that's where garam masala and lemon come in because, again, they stop the cooking process. And so that's like a quick recipe, but it applies to every lentil. And I have videos of these.
Okay.
But Ayurveda teaches us that soups and stews with delicious pre-digested spices are the perfect dinner because at night we're meant to eat an easy to digest, relaxing, warming dinner before bedtime.
Cozy.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I love this. I am already just so excited to go collect all these herbs and like just spruce up my spice cabinet.
Yes, for sure.
And it's kind of that honor and that respect and bringing in so much like ancient intelligent wisdom. Like these plants have really created and cultivated so much information, medicinal information for our bodies. And then our system is receiving it and also honoring and respecting the ancient wisdom of the culture, of the Ayurvedic principles that are in these plants, in these seasonings. And that's so beautiful that our system can respond and react and kind of get back to, you know, those deep evolutionary processes where our system knows how to heal. We just need to give it the information to do that.
True. Very true.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. Okay. Now tell us, you talked about turmeric and high dosing. Yeah. So many people, they think about turmeric from like maybe a golden milk tea or a golden milk latte or something, where at least they're trying to bring in a little black pepper to add the piperine effect, and the curcumin itself is the active part of turmeric. And it's, you know, maybe best if they're grating up a fresh turmeric, organic turmeric root in it. But what are some other things in addition to like the oil to make it absorb? You have a product that you've put out that's high dosing, availability for high dosing.
Yes. So when people talk about turmeric, the plant in ancient India and current India, we don't really use that fresh plant as much. Mm. Is fresh good across the board? Yes. When it comes to eating fruit and vegetables, I do want to do that. Even with ginger, I love fresh ginger. Yes. So if you want to use fresh turmeric, go for it. People are loving turmeric juice and things like that.
Yes.
Then when you dry it into a spice, you're really concentrating a lot of turmeric into a spice. Yeah. And so using it in your cooking is very powerful. Just make sure you're doing that with black pepper or a healthy fat to get those benefits. The thing is, in modern day times, many of us are carrying chronic, low-grade, persistent inflammation. Yes. We're seeing it as metabolic disease. We're seeing it as the health issues that we see when we go to the doctor. And so what I like to teach about is the fact that out of the entire turmeric plant, only 3 to 5% of it is the curcuminoids. And out of those curcuminoids, curcumin is the most effective at reducing inflammation. Yes. And so when I learned that, I was like, well, I'm eating turmeric every day, but that does not guarantee the significant reduction of inflammation that I need based on my family history.
Yeah.
And so when I researched, okay, well, which supplement will I buy? Well, it's really hard because everyone's labels are different. And so a lot of supplements that you pick up and see on Amazon and in big box retailers are like 1,000 milligrams of curcuma longa with curcumin extract. And that means nothing. That just means turmeric powder with some curcuminoids, and you don't know the ratio. You don't know the potency. And so after reading about 100 labels like this and realizing that the supplement industry is really built oftentimes to be about a high profit industry.
Yes.
I went out and said, no, no, no. I actually want to prove to all of Western medicine that curcumin works exactly the way the science says.
Yes.
And so I found the perfect supplier out of India that when they extract in the correct ratio of those curcuminoids, exactly mimicking Mother Nature so that our body will absorb it. That's a really important piece.
I love that.
And we rise above the 95% standard. So we're seeking to hit 98%, and we land right around 98%, not at 95. And so any supplement you buy should stay standardized to 95%. It should say curcumin. It should say that they're giving you a ton of turmeric powder, because we can all buy that for $3. It's not expensive. And it should really be focused on that quality. And so to me, I built the formula for that. And for 10 years, all I've seen is people call me and say, my joint pain's gone. Wow. I can use my hands again. I can use my back again. I can walk pain free. And then a million other small things that I love hearing about. So
I love it.
So I've actually held the exact formula with the exact supplier. I make it in the US. I third party test pre, mid, and post production. Just so the thing that I deliver is always exactly the same.
Yes.
And now I'm excited to do a lot of clinical trials on it to see and prove, really, I already know what it does, but prove to Western medicine what we can do with it.
I love that so much. I do functional neurology. And so for me, it's so crucial to have anti-inflammatory for the brain and that know that it will cross the blood-brain barrier.
Correct.
So turmeric that's emulsified and liposomal in a way that is bioavailable still, that is so important to me. And I love how yours, your products can cross the blood-brain barrier. So it can promote the longevity in the brain, in the neuronal telomeres. It can actually help with that elongation. So this is like the longevity of how long the brain cells can stay functioning optimally. So I know you know quite a bit about like preventing decline in mental capacity. So this is like, how can we use turmeric and your product particularly for preventing dementia or Alzheimer's, some of those shortening of the telomere responses?
Yeah, I mean, there's a team black pepper and there's a team healthy fat when it comes to curcumin, and there's no apples to apple science between them, which I find so funny. I want to see that study one day, or I will have to probably fund it myself just to know out of my own curiosity. I am team black pepper. I love curcumin with black pepper, and I've seen it effective. There is a big team liposomal. So I tell people just take my formula with food, or take my formula when you're going to eat a healthy fat if you want to increase that absorption even that much more. It's built for absorption, but you can do that as well for the effects that you're talking about, which is crossing the blood-brain barrier and having that impact. We have so much science on neurocognitive disease and how it's tied to neuroinflammation. And so I'm excited to see how we're going to do so much more research on plant medicine solutions to help support that journey.
Yes, I love that. And you mentioned ghee earlier and how people can cook with that, or at least start heating some of the turmeric and the black pepper with some ghee, and then even eating that with a meal, and then taking extra of the bioavailable turmeric from your capsules. That could be a perfect way to just carry that right across the blood-brain barrier.
Exactly.
I love it. What about adding in certain types of lifestyle factors like breath work and Qigong movements or some yoga flows or something that's helping to get the blood flow and the lymphatic system moving? And just how does that help to optimize what they're taking into their body as the information?
Well, Ayurveda teaches us that the daily rhythm we build with self-care is the key to vibrant health. And so we teach about, like I talked about, wake up, say your first morning prayers or your first intention of the day, tongue scraping, oil pulling. After that, Ayurveda says to do your pranayama breath work, your morning meditation, do your yoga flow. That's how we wake up the body. Ayurveda says sun salutations and yoga is enough to keep the body really healthy because you're going to build muscle. You're going to support that lymphatic system to move. We're going to really tune in and use it as a way to calm the mind and get present and bring body, mind, and spirit into alignment. So having those practices is really key. And then we also teach a set of self-care rituals that I've moved into the evening because I find we're kind of busy in the morning. And those include things like dry brushing, which will move the lymphatic system. We teach one called Abhyanga massage, which is self-massage with food-grade organic oils. So sesame oil or any oil. And really taking that time to ground and tune in and recognize that you're gifting this oil to the skin, gifting it to your joints, creating oileation of the whole system to keep the skin supple and young, but also to support that delicious, healthy joint health that we want. And it's so grounding to vata energy. And so many of us are suffering with a vata imbalance because of that overstimulation that we have from social media, et cetera. And so just really grounding at the end of the day is a beautiful way to ease yourself into a delicious night's sleep. And so Ayurveda teaches a lot about that and how everything we do before bed has an impact. So really take away news, don't have a TV in your room, don't consume social media, don't consume anything scary. Really feed and nourish the mind with peaceful things and good things. So spiritual books. Really bring in the good so that through your sleep, that is what your energetic field is tuned into, not
I love it.
scary negative things. And so Ayurveda really teaches you a true rhythm throughout your day that is also your rhythm throughout the night, so you wake up fresh and happy. And
That
so
is so beautiful.
when we're in that rhythm, it's really beautiful. It feels so good.
Yes, I love the way you explain that and describe that. And that self-massage too can be that self-love, that self-respect, that self-nurturing, and that somatic sensory information to the nervous system to just unwind and know that it's safe to feel safe in your body so that the spirit can settle in and then go into that beautiful dream state where inspiration comes through.
True, very true.
Wow, I love this. Dr. Shivani, this has been an absolute pleasure to have you here with us on the Resonant Life podcast. I have absolutely loved what you've shared with us, this wisdom. It's been an inspiration to me. I am so thankful and grateful for all the wonderful work that you're putting out into the world. And thank you for sharing this information with us, this inspiration for each one of us to really just delve into our own Ayurvedic rhythms and self-love, self-care, and just nurturing ourselves on a much deeper and intrinsic level. Thank you for sharing this time with us.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. And if anyone wants a discount code for Fusionary, they can visit me at fusionaryformulas.com. And I made a special code for your listeners.
You.
Resonance will give them 15% off. And then on my website at drshivani.com, I've got a lot of the codes and the quizzes and things we talked about today.
Yes, I love that. We definitely will want them to have the access in the show notes. So everyone go to these links that we're including, because this is so important that you each understand more about yourself. This will help in every wellness journey and just in how you're able to express yourself in your beautiful, vibrant life. Thank you so much, Dr. Shivani.
Thank
you. We're so grateful.
Thanks for having me. I just want to come hug you.
Oh, I'm sending
I feel like
a
we think the exact
too.
Same.
We do.
So nice to meet
you. A big hug. Absolutely. Yeah.